All right, now you can start.
Now we can start, okay, I'm glad I didn't put that on tape. I haven't told my wife yet that I gained weight, but she's in Georgia visiting her son and his wife and two children. The two children, of course, are the reason she went, and she'll be coming back tomorrow. She's sorry to miss being with you, but you know, there are things about grandchildren that just kind of override everything else. So anyway, I'm glad that I'm here with you. I appreciate the fact that we had two brothers who were willing to step up and teach the class. And I haven't asked them how it went, but I know it went well. And I see some nods. That's good. And so Carl and Ron are good brothers, and I'm grateful for them to be available for teaching. We're still, as some of you may realize, we are still in the book of Galatians. And Brother Ron said that you got down to Galatians 5, 22 through 26. And so if it's okay with you, that's where we'll start today. You may have noticed that in Paul's work and also in other places in the Bible, that there are repeated lists, yes. And so Brother Dan on Wednesday night brought that out in his class, that Paul likes to use lists. And here is another case where he lists some of the things that the Holy Spirit is responsible for. And so why do you think the Holy Spirit gives us lists of things? Why would he do that? We don't know the mind of God, but we can at least speculate, I guess, a little bit about that. Well, when you were studying in school, and for some of us that was a while back, maybe your teachers gave you lists of things that you were supposed to memorize. Maybe you memorized, when in Sunday school, you may have memorized the Ten Commandments. I did. Maybe you memorized the names of the books of the Bible. That was not so easy if you're talking about the Old Testament as well as the New. Lists do help you to remember, don't they? And if you say Habakkuk, I can tell you, I think, I'm going to try it, I think I can remember the book before Habakkuk and the book after Habakkuk. I don't know how much good that does, but at least it's one way to remember that indeed there is a book named Habakkuk, and there is no book named Hezekiah, so in case you were wondering. The way we learn things a lot of times is by having a list to go back to and say, oh yeah, I remember that. And so that's a good way that you can find things in the Bible, and it's also a way you can teach. Yes?
I remember the camp.
Is it on?
It's on.
Lord, about the camp. The students came back, the campers came back, and they could say all of these. And they still can say all of these.
Ah, all right.
I mean, I just was so impressed with them. I always get muddled down after the two P's.
Yeah, okay. Well, That can confuse anybody. But anyway, when they do go to Bible camp, well, that is something that teachers love to do, is to teach some things that can be developed as rote. And then when you have learned it, if you're a youngster, you're going to remember it probably the rest of your life. So that's what Paul is doing here. By the Holy Spirit leading, he is listing things that the Holy Spirit produces as fruit in the lives of Christians. And you probably did memorize these at one time, but if you were over 14, you probably don't remember them, because we have a tendency to scrub the things that we have learned as we become adults. So let's read this this reading, which is verses 22 through 26. Somebody want to read it to us? Tell us what version you're reading. Okay, I'll read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. All right, I was reading from the ESV. So, when it says the fruit of the Spirit, you notice that there's just one fruit that it's a singular noun that he's using there. I've heard people say, well, there are a whole lot of fruits of the Spirit. Well, yeah, that's correct, but in this verse, there's only one fruit of the Spirit, which is all of these things grouped together. Do you think those are the only things that the Holy Spirit raises in your heart, that creates in your heart? Can you think of anything else, something that's left out, perhaps?
Well, there's much more, but to back up a step, the word is produce. If you go to the produce department at your favorite store, there's a lot of fruit in there. And so the suggestion that Paul is sending to the churches of Galatia is the Holy Spirit is a producer of these spiritual qualities. Mm-hmm. Think of a generator and how the lights are on because there's a generator somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But not only does the Holy Spirit guide us in, as you're saying, but now to answer the question that you raised, and there may be others that want to say so, the sound doctrine. The Holy Spirit produces sound doctrine. And so just as one of the components of the Holy Spirit might be compassion, to go back to the first point, coming to the second point, the Holy Spirit instructs husbands and wives in their relationship, elders and deacons in their relationship. All of these different components are also produced by the Holy Spirit, and we're led by His Word. Mm-hmm. On how we're to regulate our lives, and in fact, the whole much of what Paul was all about was transmitting the will of the Holy Spirit in writing to first century churches. And then, enough of that. Back to you, sir.
All right. And your point is well taken. That it's a singular noun, but also we use those singular nouns ourselves,
right,
in situations where there's a generic situation, for example. So if you go to the store, by the way, Viktor Samoilov, who was the preacher in Ukraine and who has emigrated to the U.S. and now works in the produce department of Walmart in not in Gainesville, but his daughter lives down in Naples. And so since that's where his granddaughter is, he went down there to find a job, and he got one. So he knows what produce is. It's what he's responsible for in the store. And the produce is a variety of things, just as the produce or the fruit here is a variety of things. Do you think that if you were to see the full-blown fruit of the Holy Spirit, even if it were limited to these items, do you believe that this would produce a Christian that is pleasing God?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. It is a kind of thing, when you want to put all the things together, that you would say that you would like for your daughter to marry a man who is full of the Spirit and shows these things, grab him while you can, because you want your children to marry people who are living by the Spirit. And he goes on, as you see there, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. He basically is repeating himself, using walk and live really interchangeably, because if you are full of this fruit, you're going to be walking by the Spirit. You're going to be letting Him produce in you these godlike qualities. How does He do that? How does the Spirit do that? Think about that for a moment. How does the Spirit produce this fruit within the Christian.
You have to remain in Christ, like Jesus tells the vine, "You are the branches."
Excellent comparison there. Yes.
So with different circumstances, different trials, different furnaces, we will mature. You know, almost like with Second Peter. His name, Sunday school teacher, she's gone now. I was about in kindergarten. But the fruit of the Spirit was different flavors. That's the word, and that stuck with me for almost 62 years. But anyway, she said, these are different flavors or seasoning how Christians are, you know, or should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but back to how does this produce in a Christian? Well, through love, joy, and long-suffering, that's more appropriate than patience. We'll see in perseverance or endurance, which Peter talks about in the first chapter. So we just have to keep on keeping on and doing the right thing, and these things will come to us, hopefully, sooner than later.
All right, so you're saying several things about this, that there are other lists in the Bible that have to do with what the Holy Spirit does. Peter has his own list that he gives us. Remember Jesus and the first part of the Sermon on the Mount?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He gave us a list. We call them Beatitudes.
Yes, sir.
It's a list. Yes.
I would also like to reply to what Brother Bell just said. We also have to study the Word of God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we have to apply what we study to our life. Mm-hmm.
Go there, yes.
The only way we can really be proof of what we read about is what we study and how we apply to our life.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. The reading of the Bible is wonderful. The studying of the Bible is even more wonderful. And so in our study, we need to be reflective and say, okay, the Bible says that I ought to be gentle. That's one of them, by the way. The Bible says I ought to be gentle. I should be becoming gentle as the Holy Spirit produces this fruit in me. And so if I find myself changing, it may be over time. It may be that you become gentler. It may be that you become all of these things and you say to yourself, I think I'm doing a good job of being a Christian. And if you don't give the Holy Spirit any credit for that, you're making a big mistake because He's at work. And the reason you can manage to get better is because He's giving you tips all along on how you can change for the better. And if we ignore His tips, we're just ignoring the biggest help we could possibly have. Yes, brother?
And supporting what everybody is saying, think of Saul of Tarsus. When he realized that he was chiefest of sinners, and Jesus pardoned him and put him into the apostleship, and specifically the ministry to we Gentiles, was he grateful for that? And did that gratitude generate incredible behavior? Not only did he obey, he knew the Jewish law backwards and forwards. So he knew the rules. But what was in Saul's heart that generated the endurance to put up with the abuse, some intentional and unintentional? A shipwreck is unintentional, for instance, but he suffered that, plus much more. What gave him? I'm suggesting the gratitude of what Jesus did in pardoning him for all his transgressions against the Father. And so think of you and me, if someone does a kindness and then asks us to do a favor, aren't we motivated much more to say yes? Oh, absolutely, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes without even asking, we will do for one another because of our love that generates that. So we're suggesting that the grateful attitude in the life of a redeemed person shows God works worthy of our repentance, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right, and not just repentance, but the flow of blessings that are coming all the time. Yeah.
To us, and then we distribute those to others, like you said.
Correct. So as we look at these, and we're not going to go through and analyze every one of these qualities that he mentions, but we're going to see how all of this just bubbles up, and we are able to see that this is he's talking about an ideal. He's saying, if you want to be an ideal person, an ideal Christian, this is the kind of things that you're going to see occurring within you. The Holy Spirit is going to be giving you these qualities if you will simply respond. And we have to respond. It's not going to do any good to say, "Ah, I see this sort of thing. This is available. I can take it. Maybe I ought to change my life, but I don't know that I will." Well, in that case, the fruit is there, but you haven't grasped it. You haven't taken it into your heart. And I know that there are times when we are tempted to take on the same attitude that we see in the world. Hatred surrounds us. All of us are subjected to people who are demonstrating hatred. I know that, for example, in the social media, what I've seen, it's not a very good thing, but I'm sure there are a lot of good things in it. In fact, I post stuff myself about Ukraine. But the thing is that there are so many bad things that people are saying and demonstrating that it would be easy for us to fall into a trap. Who lays those traps? It's Satan. He's tempting us to allow hatred to become a part of our nature. Actually, it is kind of a part of our nature, because human beings are basically sinful people. I don't mean to say that you're sinful people, except, well, we're all sinful people, aren't we? So it behooves us to, every chance we have, take a look at ourselves and say, you know, if I were allowing the Spirit to work like he wants to work, these are things that ought to become nature for me rather than human nature. That's a real tough assignment, I think, because I am not naturally a good person. I am naturally a bad person. So what I'm trying to do over time is let the Holy Spirit work within me to cleanse my heart and fortify my heart so that I can be the kind of person that God wanted me to become when I became a Christian. That's what he had in mind by making me a new creature. Being a new creature is not just a word or a phrase. It is absolutely what he's after and what we should be trying to do. Yes?
Please compliment.
Yes. Good point. Yes, a good point. If you leave one of these out by either rejecting it or failing to follow through when the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge in this direction, then we are actually adopting a non-Christian attitude toward what God is trying to do within us. And that, I appreciate that point. Yes. That's right. In fact, I believe the same writer said that faith and hope and love, the greatest of these is love. So you've made a very good point there. All right. Now, other comments that you have, let's just look at this again. Love, okay, that's a good place to start, isn't it? Joy, boy, I love it that joy is right up there close to top. Because if we don't have joy in our life, it's a sad life. And you probably know people that don't have any joy, or apparently don't have any joy in their lives. And you can't really blame people, because maybe they're dying of cancer and they hurt all the time. And so if they are not acting joyful, we shouldn't say, hey, cheer up. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really help to say you're doing wrong by not being joyful, but we ought to do what we can to help them. Getting to have some joy in life. If they like to have Snickers candy bars and they're dying, give them a Snickers candy bar. Because they're not going to get addicted, and if they do, so what? Yes.
When we went and saw Jenny the week before she died, or 2 weeks before she died, Skip and I had our masks on, and we went in, and another friend came in, and she goes, for heaven's sakes, take your mask off.
Yep.
And I said to her, I said, well, Jenny, we don't
want to,
or Jenny, we don't
want to
give you anything. And she goes,
right. Yeah. Where are we and who are we? Yeah. Yes.
That she asked, I didn't think she knew who I was. Yeah, exactly. From the end. But the last thing she said to me one night was, bring potatoes.
Potatoes.
She knew that I was the only one who would bring her potatoes.
Okay.
And it didn't matter.
Well, you see, there you are. See, we have to use judgment, don't we?
Amen. That's
yeah.
Right.
If you're visiting someone that definitely is not looking forward to tomorrow, because tomorrow probably is the end of life, you have to treat them knowing that that's true. If they know it, now of course, if they don't realize that they're on the verge of death, you don't want anything to do anything that will offend them. But still, let's do what we can to our brothers and sisters, especially, to help them achieve this fruit in their lives. Okay, but anyhow, going on, let's just look at these again. Peace. Don't we all want peace in our lives?
Yeah.
And especially I think about my brothers and sisters in Ukraine. They want peace. I was listening to the radio this morning on my way over here. They were interviewing a 70-year-old man who was talking about his life now, with cluster bombs in his garden and things like that. And he said he just wanted peace. And he doesn't really care who is politically in charge of the country. He doesn't care about that. He just wants people to quit putting grenades in his garden. He wants peace. And I'll tell you, that is the same way that Luba's sister feels. She's a Ukrainian through and through, but really, if the Russians win and they quit killing people, she's going to be happier than she is right now. Her interest is peace. We're all wanting peace, but that's not the peace that we really ought to seek. You remember what Jesus said when he said, I give you peace? He says, not as the world gives peace. Yeah. But does I give peace? How does he give peace? Freedom from all the bad things that sinners look forward to, he's willing to give us eternal peace. And right now, too. Okay, so patience, and as you pointed out, not only patience, but also long-suffering. Those two words are often used interchangeably, particularly when they're translating. Patience. You know, have you ever heard the expression, I need patience and I want it right now? Come on.
I'm being proud of our humility.
That's right. Right. Yeah. I've heard people say, I sure am glad I'm not like that publican. the Pharisee, excuse me. We're not like the Pharisee? Well, come on. Let's look at ourselves and see if we are. Kindness, that would carry on to, like, are you going to kick a dog? I hope not.
Depends on the dog.
Yeah.
If they're wanting to bite my loved ones, yeah, I'll kick them.
Okay. I have such a bad memory about one time, and I was knocking on doors, and there was a dog, I assume the dog belonged to the lady of the house, who came up and was yapping and yapping and started to bite me. And so I just, keeping my face as pleasant as possible, I just kicked the dog like that. And it went off yipping, and right then the lady came to the door. I never will forget how I felt. I was so embarrassed that I had done that. Anyway, kindness should carry over even to dumb animals or smart animals, as well as to people. Goodness, now there's something that really does command our attention. It isn't necessarily that you are legal or that you are polite, all those things that we do strive to teach our children. But he's saying there's such a thing as goodness that the Holy Spirit is wanting to build within us. Goodness, what does that mean? What does goodness mean? If somebody says, well, why did you do so-and-so? What you want to be able to say is, it was the right thing to do.
Right.
Not that it necessarily was the legal thing to do, or that it was required of me, or something like that, but was it the right thing to do? If you see somebody who fell down, your immediate impulse is to go and help them up. Not because you're required to. Not because somebody's going to look around you and say, well, why didn't you pick that person up? That's your first impulse if you are a good person. And so he's talking about being good in the sense that you are trying to avoid anything that is wrong or that is inappropriate. You're trying to make sure that you always respond the right way. And finally, faithfulness, into that verse, faithfulness. Are we faithful? If you're not faithful, then we need to straighten up, don't we? If we are neglecting Jesus and the things that he's asked us to do, and perhaps even denying him, we're not being faithful. And then gentleness. Gentleness. I don't think that I was always gentle as I was raising six kids. There were times when I used to whap them. That's a confession. If you want to confess too, we'll let you.
Yeah, I confess.
Spirit God's oil the child.
I confess only had two. I confess, but it was only two.
Only two.
If you strike him, he will not die.
He better not.
Lord guide you.
But you know that you don't lose anything by being gentle. You really don't lose anything. So this is something that I'm going to say that my younger self needs to change. I think I'm gentle now compared to what I was before. And then finally here, he says, oh, self-control. Somebody mentioned that.
There.
Okay. Right? Self-control.
Yes, sir.
This is not a case of right and wrong either. This is a case of how do you handle things that require that you be the adult in the room. And I know that sometimes we probably don't want to dredge up our past because we failed to be in charge of ourselves. So as you can see, when I do this, when I'm looking at scripture like this, I try to see where do I stand in regard to this. Okay, you want to call it a checklist? Fine. It's a list. And it's a list that Paul gives us, giving us an idea of what the Holy Spirit wants to be doing within us. He doesn't force us, but that's what he wants to do for us. And we are the ones that he's ready to operate on in his love and in his great power. So if we are ready to do that, then he says, then you're going to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit wants to lead. Notice he's not got a whip and he's not driving us. The Holy Spirit is simply leading. And we're the ones that make the choice. We're the ones that decide, am I going to be led by the Spirit? Well, if so, then I need to walk by the Spirit. You notice he says that? If you're going to be led, then walk the way that you say you're going to walk. I don't care how many times we see this or read this. There's always another time that we need to see what the Spirit says about his role in our everyday lives. Everyday life. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't go to bed and sleep for an eternity when he finished dictating the New Testament to the apostles. he is still at work. And for us to say something that indicates that he's not around anymore is simply to undercut his work. All right, anybody else want to? I've been talking too much. What?
You're doing just fine. You mentioned a key point, and it stimulates this thought. The Holy Spirit wants to be active. If we are immersed in Him and His Word is bubbling out of our lives, how does He become active in the present moment, in our Bible classes or in worship or in our daily lives, wherever we say it? Is it not that if there's something that needs to be said and a spirit-filled brother or sister, there are sisters in this room who speak up, and they're knowledgeable of the word, and they can say a word of admonishment. Well, let's go to Miss Jeannie White.
Yeah.
Did the Holy Spirit not, I mean, she's still teaching us.
Yes.
And I'm getting goosebumps just referencing her. Mm-hmm. About how powerful, and isn't that the Holy Spirit in her life, where she put her heavy weight down on the truth of the Word of God, and she's on the other side now, and what an incredible thing to say, I can't believe there are so many people praying to keep me out of heaven, or paradise, yeah. Whatever she may have said, right. I may have misquoted, and yet, we're thinking, well, you're breaking our heart. You're killing us here, and we don't want you to leave. And she says, but I intend to, and I'm going to believe every word of the Holy Spirit. And she put her weight down on that, and she's on the other side.
And so, we believe that's where she got to.
So what I'm suggesting is go back to not muddying the point like I'm doing now. When a brother or sister speaks up and gives us wise counsel, is that not the Holy Spirit being activated in our class like yourself? You're giving us wise counsel. Is the Holy Spirit speaking through Bill Wharton? Even at, yes.
I think so.
And not only, and then Miss Orith over there, and so many others. And we could name names, and I know it's, there's so many in here, so we're not reflecting on anybody that mm-hmm. we didn't call. We're just saying the Holy Spirit is active in our life. Brother Henry, he gives us an admonition about self-control. Is that not the Holy Spirit saying, hey, and then all of us who are a little shady on self-control get what? Tweak. You need to work on that there, old man boy. You need to work on that little self-control bit. Back to Dr. Bill.
Okay. So, anyway, we don't want to go around bragging about the Spirit and what He's doing within us. That's not the idea.
Exactly.
And I know you're saying the same thing.
That. No.
But when you speak, you should always speak as the oracles of God.
Amen.
This is Scripture. And whenever you act, that's the same thing. We need to act within those boundaries, because as he says, if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you're going to walk by the Spirit. Okay, other comments?
Well, spiritual gifts are different according to how God gives them to one.
Yeah.
But those gifts should be utilized in self. The fruit of the Spirit should complement each one, and it probably will be more effective when you do. But the fruit of the Spirit doesn't deny the spiritual gifts.
Right, and it doesn't deny the spiritual gifts. Apparently, he's saying basically any Christian can be led by the Spirit. But there are some Christians who were given special gifts by the Spirit. We do not know exactly whether these things are surfacing in this day and time or not. I think that, for example, and I if David will permit me. I believe that when Mark is in the pulpit, I see in him evidence of his being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
I think his teaching is sound. I think that the way he explains the Scripture is instructive and helpful. And so I think I see in him that he has a gift that God has given him through the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I've not talked to Mark about this. I don't know what he believes. That's my impression. And therefore, as you point out, this is something that we need to be looking for, we need to be listening for, because if somebody does have the spirit of teaching or the spirit of prophecy or whatever, then we ought to keep our ears pricked for picking up on that and seeing how we can learn. Our lives should be continual curiosity seeking. I don't think that we ever ought to quit learning. And I went to university last week for a test in their aging program, and they say, you're in pretty good shape. Your brain seems to be working okay. Now, I was so glad to hear that.
Wisdom from a gator.
Well, this happened to be a China, or a Korean boy that was telling me that, so I'm not too sure. Anyway, the reason I'm saying that is that I hope that you all, as you get old like me, you're going to keep having a brain that is curious. And that you will be trying all the time to do better. That's what I'm hoping you'll do. Because I think that's what this is all about. If you're going to, if the Holy Spirit is going to bear fruit, that's present tense, he's going to do it through us.
Amen.
And we need to let him do it. Let him do it. Okay. That's probably enough rambling on all of this. Thank you for bearing with me on that. Let's look at the
well,
next.
Before you read it.
Yeah.
I don't always like the statement that says, against such there is no law. So if you want to know if you're doing something that is right, invest in these things. Sorry to say that some people even they call good evil and evil good, but you still do the good and let the people that don't exercise self-control or don't care about their religious state invest in the evil.
Yeah, and you know, interestingly, this was written, 2,000 years ago, and there still is no law against these qualities. That's good, isn't it? At least there's something good in our time that we ought to be happy about. But let's invest in what is good and legal and also uplifting.
But
yeah.
Just add, I'm not trying to change the lesson, but Peter said, add to your faith what virtue and to virtue knowledge. So,
that's a list, too.
Yes, sir. And it seemed like it'd be applicable, even like you say, during these current days that we're going through. Because I talked to two close, real army friends, and man, we have to be careful what we absorb from that social media intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's best just to turn that off, put on classical music or classical jazz, But, because we can get contaminated. And our thoughts, I don't want to hate, but God said about hate, that's going to separate. We become more like Satan.
Yeah.
And so.
Turn the hatred over to God.
Amen. That's right. So we have to be real careful to make sure that we have moral excellence or goodness. We add that to our faith and then make sure we're doing it according to God's word, not what the world is saying.
Yeah.
Amen,
brother.
So,
we have that challenge, don't we?
Yes, sir. Every day.
Every day. Let's just read the next verse here, and we'll have 2 minutes in which to discuss it. For the one who sows to his own flesh, this is on the sixth chapter of Galatians, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. Hey, buddy, do you want eternal life?
Amen.
I do. I don't want eternal life as we live it here. There's a lot of problems connected with life here. But eternal life that God promises us is free from all the negatives. And we just have whatever joy it is that is the greatest for us. And he says, if you sow to the Spirit, you will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Is the Spirit important?
Absolutely.
Is it important for us to study about him?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. And he is the one that, first of all, in the fifth chapter has told us the kinds of things the Holy Spirit is going to produce in us. And here in the sixth chapter, he's really nailing it down by saying, if you are going to sow according to the flesh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because that is the opposite of sowing according to the Spirit. Now, I think that we're talking here to a class where you folks are already sowing according to the Spirit. And you do not say to yourself, I think I'm going to sow according to the flesh. No, you don't say that. But do you think that maybe sometimes we slip? Do we maybe sometimes when we get angry or something and we say a word that you didn't even know you knew? You know, it's easy to let something that goes into your brain come out again. So we have to be very cautious about allowing the flesh to interfere with our connection with the Spirit. I think on that note, it's good for us to leave.
We choose life. We choose life.
Yeah. What are you going to choose? Right. Brother, would you lead us in a prayer as we close? Amen. Thank you very much. So next Sunday, we will be picking up with the next page and the next book. We're going to be turning to Ephesians beginning next Sunday. Thank you all for being here today, and I love you. Thank you. Thanks for helping.
Not a problem.